Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, May 15, 2015. IGAD and the United Nations mission in South Sudan accuse the South Sudan government of continuing to attack rebel forces in parts of the country.
We have reports of SPLA advances and fighting as they push into southern unity states towards Kok, Lea, and Adok.
And Western Bahr al-Ghazal state authorities deny protests occur over skyrocketing prices.
People should not worry. What happened in Jom Market was just caused by the street boys. They were firing fireworks and their intention was to cause commotion so they could loot items from the market.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in Western Bahr al-Ghazal state are denying they had to quell protests yesterday staged by citizens angry over high cost of food commodities. Police say the unrest in Jow Market was caused by street boys stealing food, prompting police to shut down the shops. As Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Wau, traders have reopened for businesses today.
Zakim Zakaria Abdelaziz, a retail dealer in Jow Market, says he could not confirm whether there were organized protests because he was inside his shop, but says he heard people chanting, "Our market is bad." A few minutes later, he saw people running and says that was enough to make him close his shop. Like many other places, prices of basic commodities in Western Bahr al-Ghazal have been rising each day. And traders like Zakaria fear the higher prices they must charge to make a profit will make them targets of angry customers.
The market these days is not good. We fear for our lives. This is why we closed our shops.
State authorities deny organized protests over the high cost of living have taken place here, saying there is no reason for Western Bahr al-Ghazal citizens to protest, since everyone in South Sudan is facing the same problem. Deng Malwal is the state's acting police commissioner.
People should not worry. What happened in Jom Market was just caused by the street boys. They were firing fireworks and their intention was to cause commotion so they could loot items from the market. We quickly sent police forces there.
Western Bahr al-Ghazal Trade Chamber of Commerce Chairman Walt Charles says his traders closed the market yesterday out of fear, but also says there was no organized protest.
A thief stole something and he was chased and caught. People gathered there, and when they saw the gathering, they concluded that there was a protest, yet there was none. Traders decided to close their shops, but there wasn't anything in the market.
Wall says traders are hoped to offer goods at more affordable prices in the near future after they received a promised letter of credit issued by the state government. He is asking citizens to be patient for just a little while longer. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio, reporting from Wau.
The Secretary General of the opposition group SPLM for Democratic Change says the fighting in South Sudan must end and the warring sides return to the negotiating table if there is to be any hope for development and stability in the young nation. Deng Biordeng says his SPLM-DC party has long been pushing for inclusive negotiations to resolve the political crisis that led to the fighting in the first place. But he says the warring sides have pushed back against allowing more voices to be part of the talks.
The SPLM-DC in the first place is pressuring for the cessation of hostilities so that there can be a conducive atmosphere for the peace talks to go ahead. Of course, we have been opposed to this idea of violence for a long time and we have been pressuring these groups to stop the fighting and continue with the negotiations.
Which areas are experiencing fighting as we speak with you right now?
It is mostly Upper Nile, Greater Upper Nile, that is Yongolea, Upper Nile, and then the United States.
You said that the first priority for SPLM-DC is the two parties must stop the fighting and then talk peace. Now, in the absence of that, what do you think the two parties should do? If they continue fighting, what should happen?
From the onset, actually, we had been calling on the government even before the talks began. And in the first week, during the same time of the talks, we actually talked to the government and presented a memo for a peaceful dialogue. And that we have all been calling the government to convene an all-inclusive national dialogue so that the negotiations should be approached from at least some kind of one point of view. But the government didn't do that, of course. In the first place, they actually appreciated our position, and that is why in the first talks we were represented in the government delegation to Addis to go and participate in the peace talk. Of course, the rebels wouldn't accept the idea of an all-inclusive talks in Juba, and that is why the talks were moved to Addis.
Why did the government remove your leader, Dr. Lama Kol, from their delegation at the talks in Addis?
What happened was that during the talks, of course, an agreement was made that the talks should take an all-inclusive talks in which political parties have to be represented as stakeholders. And so Dr. Lam dropped from the government delegation to represent his party in the talks.
Officials in Juba were saying, just to quote their words, they were saying that Dr. Lam had a big appetite for power.
Well, there is no problem with that. Of course, Dr. Lam, why not? Why should he not have an appetite for power? He's a Southern Sudanese like anybody. But also there must be a procedure, a democratic way of arriving at the power. But at all, who does not want power?
And when we come to the issue of diversity, a lot of people are saying that the government in South Sudan does not represent the people of South Sudan. Do you agree with that conclusion?
It is purported to have been an elected government, and if it is not representing the people of the Southern Sudan, then it is the way of governing, but not that it has not been an elected government. And we agreed during the election, we conceded the election, and we considered the government to be an elected government.
So
an elected government is a government we represent people.
Yeah, they say it
does
not reflect.
In a way that does not represent people, that is another thing. That is a failure of the government. That is why we are an opposition.
Yeah, they are saying it does not reflect the diversity of the South Sudanese people.
I do not really know, but in what sense?
They are saying because that, is, for instance, they are saying the cabinet is made of one ethnic group.
I don't think so, because you had before the first vice president, the second vice president, and there are other areas where you can say that the Dinkas are a majority. That is true, especially in the army. That is true. But I cannot accuse the government that there was an intention really to make the government a Dinka government. I cannot accuse the government for that.
That's Deng Bior Deng, Secretary General of the SPLM for Democratic Change. He who spoke to me last week here in Washington. SPLM-DC is the main opposition group in South Sudan. East African bloc IGAD is blaming the surge in violence in South Sudan on forces loyal to President Salva Kiir. In a statement released today, IGAD says South Sudanese government forces have been conducting a full-scale military offensive against opposition forces in more than half of the counties in Unity State. The statement says the government appears to be expanding its military campaign into Jonglei and Upper Nile states. IGAD's accusations are based on reports filed by monitoring and verification teams that deployed in South Sudan last year under the terms of the IGAD brokered cessation of hostility agreement that the warring parties signed in January last year. IGAD says its monitoring teams have received credible reports of violence against civilians and grave human rights abuses in areas where there is fighting. The regional bloc, which has been trying for more than 16 months to broker peace in South Sudan, says entire villages have been destroyed and more than 100,000 people have been displaced in 2.5 weeks in the latest fighting. The accusations that government forces are behind the surge in fighting in Unity State are not coming from IGAD alone. Yesterday, the head of the UN mission in South Sudan, Helen Margaret Loy, told the UN Security Council that there has been a spike in violence since the end of April.
The most serious situation is currently in Unity State, where we have reports of SPLA advances and fighting as they push into southern unity states towards Kok, Lea and Adok.
Loy also told the Security Council that UNMISS has received reports of
widespread human rights abuses, including murder, rape and harassment of civilians, including women and children and the elderly.
The United States released a similar statement earlier this week saying it was, quote, deeply concerned by new reports of heavy fighting in Unity State following a government offensive against opposition forces. But the government of South Sudan is flatly rejecting the allegations that its forces are responsible for the latest uptick in fighting. A statement released by the South Sudanese Embassy in Washington says the army is merely responding to attacks and provocation by the rebels. The statement goes on to lay blame for the surge in violence in Unity State on forces loyal to former Vice President Riek Machar. The government claims Machar's rebels have attacked government positions in Unity State, destroyed oil facilities and villages, and killed and abducted civilians. South Sudan's ambassador to the United States, Garang Ding Akwang, has this to say.
We have been under a lot of pressure from the rebels for the last 1 month. Our positions in Bentiu and around Bentiu were being bombarded, shelled by the rebels. And we have kept the promise that we will keep the cessation of hostilities in place. But we have been bombarded for all the time, and there is no condemnation, no reaction from the international community. But what is happening now is that we are defending our positions. We are pursuing the rebels and trying to defend ourselves and consolidate our positions.
These accusations are coming from three separate entities, from the United Nations, from the United States, and from IGAD. And you still insist that it is not the fault of the government, but that you are coming under attack and you are merely retaliating.
Yeah, we respect the views, we respect the sources, but we are on the ground. The United Nations is on the ground, we understand. But the United Nations is in the bases, not in the field, to know what is happening in the field. I think the sources of their information is not reliable sources of the information, because they are only in Bentiu. They are not in the field. We are in the field. We know what is happening. Our positions are very far away from United Nations camp. So how would they know that we are attacking or we are on offensive when it is we have been coming under pressure from the rebels, and nobody condemned them, nobody came out to say rebels were attacking the government. It has been a culture that when the rebels are attacking the government, people don't mention it, but when it is the government defending itself, people come out and say the government is attacking.
But IGAD is on the ground. Their verification and monitoring teams are on the ground, and they have been saying as well that it is SPLA forces who are trying to push deeper south into counties in Unity State.
Yeah, as I said, the verification team is in Bentiu town, and not in the counties, and not in the villages. And the fighting is happening in the villages and the counties around Bentiu. So The sources, I wonder from where do they get these resources that they claim that they're reliable sources.
So when can we expect this to end, and when can we expect peace talks to resume? Because everybody is also saying that the only way to get South Sudan back to stability and peace is to end the fighting and return to the negotiating table.
Yes, we are eager to return to negotiating table. Our team has been ready. The president has already given them go ahead to go back to Addis when and once they are called back to Addis. We want to end this war by a peaceful settlement. We believe that military solution is not an option. But the rebels are saying that they are coming to Juba. Now the government is defending itself. People are coming out and say that the government is on offensive. So we are committed to the peaceful process, and we'll go back to Addis as soon as the mediators finalize their consultation. We are waiting for a signal to go back to Addis Ababa.
That's Garang Ding Akwang, South Sudan's ambassador to the United States. He was speaking with South Sudan in Focus web editor Karen Zaivogo here in Washington this past hour. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Warrap State MPs ask Governor to relieve the Commissioner of Twitch County of his duties. We'll explain why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
would you allow your spouse to scroll through your cell phone messages?
Well, I don't mind my spouse scrolling through my messages because I have nothing to hide from her.
Yeah, I would allow him because I trust him and I don't think he can do anything wrong. So, and even I don't have bad messages, so I can allow him.
I don't allow it. Me, I'm a man. I have to do what I want. So I cannot give a chance to what to scroll my messages. I'm a man. I have to get what my wife. I've got to get as many wives as possible. So that is bad, and I cannot allow it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir issued a decree creating a long-awaited Broadcasting Corporation and Media Authority Board. Both are called for under the media laws that were passed by Parliament and approved by the President last year. For VOA News, Waki Simon Wudu reports from the capital, Juba.
The National Assembly's Information and Communication Committee Chair, Thomas Wanikundu, made the announcement that the two media boards have been created by presidential decree.
President, as he confirmed the nomination of the members of the board of Broadcasting Corporation, which is composed of the 9 people, a chair, deputy, and 7 members, out of which from 9, 25% is a female.
Professor William Haizaza of the University of Juba is the newly minted chairman of the Broadcasting Corporation, and lawyer Kiir Choldeng is the chair of the Media Authority Board. Members of the media in South Sudan say the creation of the two bodies is long overdue. Niel Ball is the Secretary General of the Association of Media Development in South Sudan, or AMDIS, the entity that pushed for Parliament to ratify the media bills. He praised Mr. Kiir's choices for the top posts in the two boards.
I think from the top list of the two institutions, the Southern Sudan Broadcasting Corporation and the Media Authority, our nominations, at least they have taken the top people which we have put. The chairperson of the information of the Media Authority is our nominees, and the same case with the Broadcasting Corporation. So I think he's a good start.
But Mr. Kiir also stoked a controversy by naming 2 National Security Service officers to the two media boards. Oliver Modi, the chair of the Union of Journalists of South Sudan, or UJOS, says including the security officers in the leadership structure of the media groups came as a surprise to journalism groups.
A media authority structure cannot entertain a security person to be, but what is that security person going to do there? That is a big mistake. Actually, those who are responsible for this will be answerable for it.
Journalists have complained of harassment and threats from the National Security Service, particularly since South Sudan erupted in fighting in December 2013. The two new media bodies are supposed to transform broadcast journalism in South Sudan from an operation that is overseen by the state into an independent undertaking. When he created the two media groups by decree, Mr. Kiir also issued decrees sacking several top government officials, Kundu explains.
The President of the Republic issued a decree relieving the former director of South Sudan Television and Radio, Khamisi Abdel Latif, from his position, and also issued a decree for the removal of Simon Nyang from his position as undersecretary in the Ministry of Commerce and Investment.
Biel Jok, the deputy chair of the South Sudan Human Rights Commission, has been named as the new undersecretary in the Ministry of Trade, Commerce and Investment. Mr. Kiir also moved the undersecretary in the Ministry of Information, George Garang, from his position and appointed him as an advisor in the same ministry. Justin Alier was named to replace Garang. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
The Warrap State Legislative Assembly asked the state governor, Nyandeng Malek, to relieve Biar Biar Ring, who is the commissioner of Twitch County. The move comes after lawmakers debated 8 charges leveled against Biar, including the claim that he seized cattle by force and diverted money given to him by the state to build an official residence. For VOA News, Santino Monura Yuel reports from Kwajok.
After appearing before the parliament on Monday to answer the charges, it became clear that Commissioner Biar was facing serious consequences. After deliberating over the answer Biar provided, the Assembly unanimously passed resolution Tuesday, calling on Governor Malek to sack Commissioner Biar. Madodu Deng is the Speaker of Warab State Legislative Assembly and had this to say after Tuesday's session.
The resolution says that the governor is to be informed that the assembly has resolved the commissioner of Tui County is no longer popular in the public of Tui County. So he is to be relieved from his office under Article 56.
Aside from the allegation that he took more than 1,000 bulls, Biar is also accused of diverting 400,000 South Sudanese pounds given to him by the state to construct a home for newly elected commissioners. Mario Ajagakwe, an MP from Tui County, moved the table to the motion along with 9 other legislators. Akwe said they advised commissioner to consult with chief before collecting the bulls, but Biar would not agree to that. In addition, Ajak accused Biar of torturing local chiefs and citizens of force to him.
First of all, it started with Akwe, and the government was informed, and the committee was taken there to investigate what was going on. No measures were taken against that. After that, he also beats people in Wurok, beats about 3 people whom I know, Chief Langa Temwell, and Chief Younger plus teacher.
Ajak says Commissioner Biar has unilaterally put a sign forth at a Wang Tau village to mark the border between Abia area and Tui County. He says the move is premature and could create an impression that an area belonging to one region is being taken by another. According to Ajak, deciding internal border is not the work of the commissioner, but of the Council of State.
Long time ago, our grandfathers told us that the border between Twitch and Abia is the Kir. And if now UNISFA is chasing people away from those areas and you are trying to fix them in the middle here, maybe Twitch will think that Abia has occupied their lands. And if you go up to Kirnum and fix them there, Abia also will also claim that Twitch is occupying their lands and you are going to bring dispute.
Commissioner Biar is also accused of cutting salaries of civil servants. He has denied all charges. If sacked, Biar will be tried in court for alleged torture of citizens. A letter from the State High Court has been issued requesting that his immunity from prosecution be waived. For VOA News, I'm Santino Manuda Yuel in Kwajok.
Today is the United Nations International Day of Families. But for many South Sudanese families, they have experienced only pain, anxiety, and struggle after 17 months of conflict. The United Nations Children's Fund says at least 800,000 children in South Sudan have been separated from at least one parent during the fighting. But amid the suffering, there has been some joyful reunions. Mungume Devs Rakarinj has more for VOA from Juba.
56-year-old Peter Chol was going about his work as a Presbyterian pastor in New Site Village near Bill Farm Barracks when South Sudan's conflict first erupted on December 15, 2013. After the fighting broke out, 3 of his 5 children fled the family home in Juba.
So I remain here in Juba, running for my dear life in the UNMISS camp in Tongpei here. So when the children ran away from me, they found one of the good person taking them to East Africa. They were there for some months. After that, I started to cry for my children. I thought that they are dead because they were in a place called Cor William, where the very dangerous war broke out in.
Charles' 2 older sons, aged 24 and 20, accompanied him to Tongping. But the 3 younger children, aged 15, 13, and 6, were taken by a neighbor to Kakuma camp in Kenya, where they were provided with food, health services, and education by humanitarian agencies. The youngest of Chol's children, 6-year-old Dwyer Peter, vividly recalls the anguish he experienced while living as a young refugee without his parents. Speaking in Nuer, Dwyer says the woman who was taking care of them would always excuse herself to fetch water and go to the market. He says she would leave the children alone without food or water. So then the children would go from house to house asking for something to eat and drink. He says the locals would call them beggars. UNICEF says at least 600 children are believed to be psychologically distressed due to the violence and displacement. The Child Charity says that along with the more than 800 displaced children in the country, an additional 8,000 have been identified and registered as unaccompanied or separated. UNICEF says such children are vulnerable to even further abuse. Paul Odent, ICRC coordinator for Restoring Family Links program, helps connect families in places like South Sudan.
Well, I think it's very traumatizing, and it has a big effect to them. It's a big effect on their education as well, on their physical development, with having limited access to good food and to good nutrition.
Chol still has no information on the whereabouts of his wife, or even if she is still alive. She was in United States when the conflict began. Despite his anxiety over his wife, Chol is grateful that the ICRC arranged for the reunion with his young children.
So I felt very happy, and I took them to the church for prayer. So we prayed for more than 3 days, and I took more than 5 days in fasting to give thanks to my Lord who rescued my kids.
ICRC has undertaken several initiatives to help people trace missing family members, including a web page that enables visitors to view photos of their loved ones. ICRC's Odent says he was happy to witness Chol's family reunion at the POC.
It was very, very touching and very moving, because he was really waiting there with a couple of relatives, and they were crying, and the children hugged him when they stay, and they stay hugging for several minutes. It was very nice.
UNICEF says South Sudan has endured a dramatic degradation in human security, a breakdown of the social fabric and family structures, and a lack of access to basic social services, primarily in Upper Nile, Unity, and Jonglei, the three states directly affected by armed conflict. For now, Chol hopes the conflict will end soon, that his children will be able to resume their education, and that will one day be reunited with his wife. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Ruakarinj in Juba.
And that report by Mungume from Juba brings us to the end to our show for today. We now leave you with the song Hasada Maako by Isaka Number One. Isaka Number One. We have been listening to Isaka Number One with the song Hasada Maako. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes and cars. You have a peaceful weekend. Join us again on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.